The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Here we go. Why I went to Hawaii for all of us is tonight.
Ding, 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 ding.
Show just went downhill.
Yes, Master. Oh, good morning, Masonians. Yes, indeed. It's a Quasimodo Wednesday. I don't know what you were doing, Minch. I don't know what you were doing, Command and Control. I don't know what you were doing, Doug Lace. It's a Quasimodo Wednesday. Sound the rolling and the tolling of the bells, 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 the rolling and the tolling of the bells.
I forgot it was Wednesday.
For whom the bell tolls, Minch.
And that's why the show started well, actually.
Who does it toll for? Does it toll for thee, LaMelo Ball? Is that what you're saying right now? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a draft. We're going to have a draft. An NBA draft. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. We're going to have a draft, and the Suns are going to have a player. We all expect, at least.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Remember those days when we couldn't expect
that's
that.
Exactly right. They're going to get, we're going to get a name. We're going to get a player. Who that player is going to be, I don't know, but I want somebody who's tough. Can I just say that right now? Can I just get that out of the way? Somebody who is tough. Yes, they got to be athletic. Yes, they have to be capable. Yes, they have to have talent. I understand all. I don't care what position he plays. I want him to be tough, and I want him to be good.
If you want toughness, Ron Wolfley, then there's one name you do not want to hear tonight.
Alexei Pokusevsky.
No way. Really?
Oh, yeah. Could be the next Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay. Could be the next Dirk Nowitzki.
But you're saying he's soft. He's 7 feet.
You're saying he's soft.
190. Okay, like, 190. Mix in a hamburger,
hey,
son.
You know what, though? It really isn't the size. It's not the size.
He does.
It's about what's inside you that matters.
The next time he boxes out will be the first time he boxes out.
Alexei Pokusevsky.
Alexei, okay.
Pokusevsky.
Okay.
That's the
I'm
name
never going to be able to say that.
That's the name that you're hoping you don't
because
hear.
I'm never going to be able to say it.
Now, for me,
Obi Toppin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you love Obi Toppin. You've been all over Obi Toppin. Why do you? Is he going to be there? That's the thing.
No.
I don't think he's going to be there. Obi Toppin's not going to be there.
He'll be a bull or a calf.
Okay. What about Killian Hayes? That's another name out there. That, you know what? Honestly, I'd be okay with that. What if there was a tie? If position is going to break a tie, I got no problem with that. If you've got a point guard you absolutely love, like Killian Hayes, you got a point guard you love, and you got a wing maybe that you love as well, and they're right there, take the point guard. Got no problem with that. But don't draft a point guard because you got to have a point guard.
I got to admit to you, normally when people talk about a tie, I take that as a scout who didn't work hard enough, that you don't know. This would be a caveat year. This would be a year where I would not attack anybody who says there's a tie because you have a situation. I would name about five guys in this draft that are in competition to be the 2021 number one pick.
Sure. Yeah. Which is different.
The catch is it's 2020.
Yes. Exactly.
They don't belong in this draft.
I see what you're saying.
They don't belong in this draft.
There's a lot of people that it took them a long time to actually settle on LaMelo Ball, right?
LaMelo Ball is what I admit. He's probably the best player. I think second best player in the draft, and I wouldn't touch him. Every time this kid has faced adversity, the family has run from it. Every time.
Okay.
So I don't want to find out the hard way he's going to do it again. But the skill is there. He's never defended anybody in his life.
Yeah.
And so I don't like that type of thing.
Do you think most people are have a consensus formed, in your opinion, that most people believe it's going to be LaMelo Ball taking number one?
I do think so. There's a chance Minnesota goes with Anthony Edwards instead. Anthony Edwards, in my opinion, is the best player in the draft, but he's just not a fighter to me. He's not competitive enough. He's always been the best player on the floor, and he's never had the killer instinct that I want to crush you. He doesn't bring it every play, and I don't like people that lack competitive instincts.
Yes. You know what? Honestly, right now, based on our needs, I just want somebody that is capable. I want somebody that is tough. I want somebody that's determined. I want somebody that's going to compete to the ground with blood under his name. I want that guy.
Let me give you a name then. And I'll play the whole thing.
I mean, why not?
Let me give you a name.
That's the guy that I want.
Sadiq Bey, small forward, Villanova.
I love
you. Shouldn't be surprised that Jay Wright has produced another NBA prospect that plays smart and fundamental basketball that transitions well to the pros. Bey is limited athletically, but shot 45% from three-point range and is better than you would think as a ball handler. While his versatility on defense is limited and he isn't going to set the world on fire offensively, Bey is a good bet to be a rotation wing thanks to his high basketball IQ and shooting.
Is he tough?
Is he tough?
Yeah,
yes.
He's tough. Exactly. Is he smart? Is he
smart?
Yes, he is a smart guy. Is he capable athletically? Yes. Good. Take him. I'm good to go.
I think you'll be happy with Bey.
I mean,
and now it's time for your Arizona sports starting five.
Right,
you can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Not my day.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
Number five.
Number five this morning. Is anybody else a little bit worried? Jared Porter is formerly with everything to do with the Cubs.
Okay.
And now the Cubs president has stepped down, and their GM has been promoted to president. Look out for the Arizona Diamondbacks to get raided on this one. Theo Epstein, however, said something really interesting about kind of looking into his strengths and weaknesses.
If you look at my track record in Boston and then here in the first 6 years or so, we did some pretty epic things, and then the last, the last couple of years weren't as impressive. And maybe what that tells me is I'm great at and really enjoy building and transformation and triumphing. Maybe I'm not as good and not as motivated by maintenance.
How open is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody but Jared Porter. Not him.
So again, Theo Epstein stepping down as president of the Cubs, their GM moving up to president, and I'm worried Jared Porter will become the GM of the Cubs.
Number four.
Number four this morning, how about the candidacy of Russell Wilson as MVP, according to Vegas, dropped to number two? Patrick Mahomes is one. Number two is now moved into Russell Wilson. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. And then there's a huge shelf after number four. Huge shelf. Do you want to know who number four is?
They were mentioning, Tom, Aaron, Patrick. You know, they've won Super Bowls. They've won MVPs. I haven't done anything. So as far as MVP deal, I'm not even really worried about that.
Great answer. Great answer. Well done, young son.
Yeah, Vegas is watching.
Number three.
Number three. How about this incredible video at Robert Sarver's house? Chris Paul and Devin Booker working out yesterday. They're already working. I got in a workout. So two things. Are you kidding that it was at Robert Sarver's house? And number two, where was DeAndre Ayton?
All I can think of, based on these, Chris Paul wanted the Suns.
Yeah. Here we go.
Number two.
Number two, tomorrow night, Cardinals, Seahawks. And this amazing statistic from the Cardinals media relations director and vice president, Mark Dalton. Teams are 6-3 right now. It's the number one offense in yards versus the number one offense in points.
No.
The overall record between the teams, 21-21-1. And the overall record in Seattle, 11-11.
I think it's just the rival, the conference game, and we go at it every time. I think they play hard, they come with it, and we know that. And we always work hard during the week, and we'd be a little extra pumped and a little more excited just to get up there and battle against Seattle because we know it's going to be a tough and physical game.
64 first downs in the first game, almost 1,100 yards on the field. This is going to be a bloodbath.
Don't you love listening to Marcus Golden? It's like he never left. The way he talks,
yep.
Marcus Golden was never a member of the New York Giants.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning.
This is one of those drafts where you have to be prepared to draft, you know, best available because you don't know what's going to be around when you're picking at 10.
The NBA draft is tonight. Do you want to go for Precious?
Read the show sheet.
Wow, we've made progress. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. If you love the NBA, pay attention to this draft. And I don't even mean tonight. I mean 3 years from now. That's when you'll really know who's really, really good at their job. Because this is one of those drafts nobody has any idea what's going to happen and who's going to be the elite prospect afterwards. Who's going to be the guy that really is the one guy where everybody says, why in the world didn't you draft him? Yesterday, ESPN NBA insider Amin El-Hassan. Amin, are you fired up? Is this the greatest draft you've ever seen?
It's so flat. Oh. I don't think there are any elite prospects, not even at one. I don't think there's a franchise player there. But I think there are a lot of good players. And depending on where they end up and what kind of situation they end up in, they might be better or worse. And so if you're Phoenix, you know, I think this is one of those drafts where you have to be prepared to draft, you know, best available because you don't know what's going to be around when you're picking at 10.
Man, I fully endorse that message right there, ladies and gentlemen. Are you kidding me? I'm not an NBA scout, nor do I try to play one on the air, ladies and gentlemen. The Suns need a good basketball player. I am so on board with that. They need to take the best player available instead of trying to draft a position. Ron Wolfley reporting. Does that make sense to you, Doug Lease?
Absolutely.
The best player available. You have one of the smaller scouting departments in the league. You don't have some of the resources other teams have. You sold your G League affiliate. Don't handcuff yourself by trying to force a point guard onto the roster so he can learn from CP3. Take the best player that's available at 10.
The draft, if you remember the 2013 draft, I consider that there's a lot of similarities there. And the reason why I bring up that draft, that's the draft where the Suns drafted fifth and they drafted Alex Len. And, you know, I talked up a lot of Victor Oladipo in that draft. And I said specifically, not because I think Victor's going to the Hall of Fame, but because he's the only one you can count on for sure.
I remember.
Because there's so many issues with this draft. Now, here's why I also bring up that draft. At number 15, Giannis Antetokounmpo was drafted.
Oh, Giannis.
And none of us knew what this kid was going to become.
And where was Devin Booker drafted?
He was drafted at number 13, I would say maybe 2 years later.
Yes.
Something like that. Yes. I think it was 2015 off the top of my head. I might be a little wrong on that. But I think that that's what this draft reminds me of a lot, is everybody that's a fantastic athlete that drips with a great basketball player has so many flaws, experience-wise, desire-wise, competitive-wise.
I don't want them.
There are problems. And every guy that you just love, their fight, their determination, as you would say, their toughness.
Yes.
They're not that great of an athlete.
Yeah.
There's nobody that mixes both up. Maybe your favorite player will be Batman fans, Bane.
Desmond Bane, shooting guard, TCU.
Bane is a winning player that shot 42% from three-point range over four seasons in Texas. With an increased ball handling role as a senior, Bane showed a good feel for making passes out of pick and roll, and his shooting numbers didn't regress despite many more shots coming off the bounce. Bane also really competes defensively and makes sound rotations. His limited athleticism caps his upside, but Bane is one of the safest bets in this class to be an NBA player.
This guy's playing for 15 years in the NBA.
Okay, I'll take him.
Yeah?
15 years in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt.
Listen, this is something I
Nothing
value,
stellar,
right?
Just
something I
gamer.
Value is professionalism. I want somebody that's going to be capable. I want somebody with some athleticism. I don't want somebody that has no ability to evolve as a player. And that's the one thing I do worry about when you play that of Bane. I want somebody that is going to get better. Somebody that will evolve a little bit as an athlete. That can't be that hard to find. The face of the planet doesn't have somebody that's got some athleticism, that is smart and tough. Somebody tough, man. I just don't. I'm tired. I'm tired of players that don't understand what it takes to go out and be pros and aren't interested, maybe, in actually being pros. I want somebody that is going to compete to the floor with blood under his nails. I want somebody that's going to fit into the culture of Monty Williams, Douglas. Show up on time, work hard, defend, share the ball, gratitude. That's who I want.
For you, then, I would say Bay, Bain, and Halliburton.
I just don't. There's no way Halliburton's going to be there at 10. That's what I think. I think he's going to be.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I don't think there's any other than Wiseman, LaMelo, and Anthony Edwards. I think after those three, nobody knows what's coming next.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, Douglas. I'm just saying that Halliburton, I don't see him getting past the Knicks at 8 at that point in time. That's all I'm saying. I just don't see him dropping out of the top 10. If he does, that's great. If he's there, that's fantastic. But even then, take the best player available, not because he plays point guard and you think, oh, man, you're going to bring him in here and he's going to learn under Chris Paul. And man, the best laid plans of mice and men off go awry.
I do love the idea of drafting a point guard that learns under Chris Paul.
I love it, too.
But
I love the idea of it.
I can tell you the one thing we learned from last year, and we'll see how this projects into the future of James Jones's tenure, is that Cam Johnson still is, in my opinion, a reach where they drafted him. Doesn't matter if he goes to the Hall of Fame or not to me. It's about the value of what did other people think. But they did trade down once. The thing is that it shows is this team values experience. This group of people aren't in love with the 18-year-old prodigy that's got a lot to learn.
That's a good point.
They want to see experience, and I'm guessing by the North Carolina pick, they want to see somebody who's come from a program where you are forced to learn. And that's a really interesting dynamic of who you're going after, and that would be a Bane. That would be a Bay. That would be a Halliburton. Those are the three types of guys that you would say they are – 3 to 4 year guys in college that have learned from good coaches and should be able to do something. I have a
list.
Which
I think in this draft, people are going to covet. And when I say people, I'm talking about general managers and teams.
Well, you're also dealing with a year that might back up their philosophy and what you just said. Remember, there's no Vegas Summer League. You're starting the season. The actual basketball season is going to start 5 weeks after you get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any of the lead up, any of the Vegas Summer League, any of those workouts and all of the things that gets a rookie ready for the season, all of those are gone. So if you want a developmental player, you're going to be spending the summer of 2021 developing, and now you've got to hope they have the attitude to sit there, be quiet, work hard, and practice while the other guys are worried about a 72-game season.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you were talking about Cam Johnson, Douglas, and I cannot get over this right now. I totally disagree with you in regard if Cam Johnson goes to the Hall of Fame, that was not a reach. It was not a reach. What it was great scouting, somebody that looked at him and saw something that nobody else saw in him. That, to me, is what scouting is all about.
Then trade down.
No, because you don't know. You don't know if somebody else sees what you see. You don't know that. And if you love the guy and you're able to draft him, go do it. If you know he's going to pan out because that's what you believe. That's what scouting is. That's what it's all about. You can't guarantee that he's going to be back there at 21. You have no idea. You think there's other teams out there that see what you see. Take him.
I think scouting leads you there, but being able to play the poker of the draft does not. If you trade up too far, you've wasted capital to get there. If you trade back and you get a guy to, and you're not, or you didn't trade back enough, now you've wasted potential capital you could have got to still get your guy.
The idea of scouting is to find the best players, no matter where they are. It doesn't matter. If you know that this guy is going to be a player, you believe that, and suddenly he rewards you and he is a player, and then he goes to the Hall of Fame, where were you wrong? Because, how could you be wrong in drafting him?
Because you could have got somebody else and him that goes to the Hall of Fame, too.
No, because you don't know. You have no idea if the team after you was going to draft that guy. You have no idea.
That's if you're good at your job, you do.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you don't.
Coming up next, is Kyler Murray ascending while Russell's going down? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
After the most exciting finish in Arizona Cardinals history, things aren't slowing down yet. Kyler Murray.
He's going to keep it off the left side. He's at the 10, half the 5.
Versus Russell Wilson.
As time steps up now and takes off.
It's going to be a huge challenge, huge division game.
And first place in the NFC West is on the line.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
In prime time. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks Thursday night football. Now,
the numbers are pretty crazy of how even this thing is. I don't know if you've ever seen the records of Packers and Bears or Duke, North Carolina, Auburn, Georgia. It's creepy how the Duke, North Carolina rivalry, I think Duke is leading by 5 points. I don't know what that was. I hope that wasn't my computer. It's 5 points, not wins, points in the series. It's something like that. And the stats that Mark Dalton of the Arizona Cardinals tweeted out, number one offense in yards versus number one offense in points. Mm. The overall record between the teams is 21-21-1. And the overall record of the teams when they compete in Seattle is 11-11. And that's what you're going up against.
What's your point, Douglas?
My point is, for the first time in Paul's life, he's safe on the sideline in Seattle. Hi, Paul.
That is true. So the computer was on, but the mic was not. So once again, you're on the 90-day probationary period. We're not naming names. If you go up to Seattle and there's going to be zero fans, zero would be the number I associate right now with the Seattle defense. And those are the numbers that stand out to me right now, Doug. Although I will say, did you see the forecast? Of course there's rain in the forecast, and there's going to be temperatures in the 40s. So first off, we feel bad for the network TV sideline reporter.
Arizona Sports.
Wow.
Breaking news.
Wow, Ball.
I'm supposed to break it on Wolf.
Maloney?
We'll get back to the whole Seattle conversation.
Okay.
But we're still celebrating the win over the Bills. Not really. But DeAndre Hopkins, for the first time in his career as the Cardinal, has been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Wow. There you go.
But are you shocked? No,
I'm not shocked at all, right? 127 receiving yards in that game. A guy that lit it up and then made that catch, the incredible catch, the Hail Murray catch. No doubt about it, man. This is good news.
It had to be.
First time ever. That's remarkable. There's no question.
First time as a Cardinal. He did win it once with Houston.
Okay, all right.
But in a sense, it's the first time he's ever been the NFC player of the offensive player of the week.
Correct.
So I think that's 3 out of the last 4 weeks the Cardinals have had someone as a player of the week, whether it's been Kyler or Buddha. Maybe it was just player of the month for Buddha, and now you have DeAndre Hopkins, and that means more media exposure for his Jumpman gloves because that picture will be everywhere. And I think at last check, the media exposure equivalent was over $5 million worth of advertising on the Jumpman gloves.
We've got an article at ArizonaSports.com that explains because he's not an official under contract Nike spokesman, he gets nothing.
Zero.
For wearing the Jumpman gloves and giving them that much exposure and attention.
Mm.
Hopefully he's doing okay financially, though.
This game Thursday, man, this is going to be incredible to watch what the Seahawks are going to try to do, what they will try to do to take DeAndre Hopkins away from Kyler Murray. it could absolutely wreck them. Paul, to your point about the weather, maybe the weather is going to be bad up there. You're talking about a team that can run the football in the Arizona Cardinals. That gives them a distinct advantage, if you ask me. The fact that they're the best rushing team, I think the Cardinals are the best rushing team in the NFL. Do I want to see them develop a little bit more talent and a little bit more attitude in regard to running in between the tackles? Absolutely. I want to see that. They're a run-by-you team right now. I want to see them with a little bit more run over. But when you put the yards per game and yards per play together, the Arizona Cardinals are the best rushing team in the league, especially when you watch how well they run the ball in certain situations.
And what they do last year at Seattle? 40 rushes for 253 yards on the ground. Kenyon Drake had a 166, including that 80-yard score right out of the gate, untouched, all the way to the house.
When he cracked the safe.
And yes, and so you look at Seattle's defense, which is historically bad. Here's the thing, though. It's the pass defense that's really
right.
Porous.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a game of matchups, Ron Wolfley, yes, the Cardinals have the number one rushing offense in the league, 169 yards per game. Yes, they're number one in rushing touchdowns, 15 rushing touchdowns, 5.3 yards a carry for the air raid. Hello.
Yes.
But when you look at Seattle's defense, the only thing they do well is they have a modicum of run defense, do they not?
No, that's right, Paulie. They're an elite defense when it comes to that. Number four in rushing yards per game allowed and number four in rushing yards per play. I do believe, though, if you use play action, especially early in this game to open it up, I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to get spooked. I think they're going to be afraid. I think because of that, they're not going to jam up the box. They're not going to be dug in. They expect the Arizona Cardinals to throw the ball. Anytime you've got a guy like Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk, yeah, they think you're going to throw the ball.
And they were missing their top two corners in this last game, in that loss against the Rams. Who do they even put on DeAndre Hopkins? Honestly, if it's a game of matchups, we know Pat P is going to be on DK Metcalf. And by the way, Jalen Ramsey last week shut down DK Metcalf. He had zero targets in the first half, only two catches in the game. He was a complete non-factor. Jalen Ramsey erased him. Who do they even put on DeAndre Hopkins? They don't have the personnel in their secondary.
I realize we have modern drainage systems in today's day and age. But if it's hard to tackle Kyler Murray because of the shimmy in open space on a dry field, what's it going to be like in that kind of weather if you're getting typical Seattle weather? You just talked, Paul, about issues of the secondary for the Seahawks and being healthy. Now there's the new one on the offensive side of the ball. Here's Pete Carroll on Monday.
A knee sprain in general. He's already had it checked out and MRI and all that kind of stuff. So he's a little bit discomfort, a little bit of swelling today.
You know who that is?
No.
Tyler Lockett.
Oh,
it's not a serious knee injury, so we'll look to see how he does day to day and take it till Thursday.
I'm sure he's fine if the game is Sunday. He'll get over it if the game's Sunday. I don't know how much you can expect of him on a Thursday. I mean, it's going to be a typical game time decision, and if it locks up, it's a no. And if it's a go, how open is he really going to be able to get?
And he was really the only weapon they had in that Sunday night game that went into overtime. He had a 50-yard grab. He had a 45-yard strike. And the Cardinals had issues against Tyler Lockett all game long. So if he can go, no wonder Russell Wilson is pressing at this point. Are you kidding me?
The one thing that is developing with the Seattle Seahawks is their ability to run the ball. They're getting better. There's no doubt about it. From the beginning of the season to this point now, they're much better in terms of running the ball. And if you watch them on tape, it seems like their offensive line is much more assertive coming off the ball as well. That, to me, is going to be the matchup of this game defensively for the Arizona Cardinals, believe it or not. I know you've got DK Metcalf. I'm with you on that. You got to put Pat P over DK Metcalf. You got to hope that somehow, some way, Pat P is able to duplicate what he did against DK Metcalf. But, man, for my money, the Seahawks are going to look at the tape at the Arizona Cardinals and they're going to say, we got to run the ball.
And there's no Corey Peters. And they're going to look at that. They're going to look at the personnel the Cardinals have in the trenches up front on the D-line.
Yes.
Yeah. And the Russell Wilson fact, whether he wants to admit it, has become a turnover machine.
I don't ever think about that.
Oh, well, he's asking about being on a three-game losing streak mostly because of his turnovers.
I don't ever think about it. That's not my, I don't ever think that way.
We have the ever-exciting one-second soundbite. Okay?
Right.
They asked Pete Carroll about the way Marcus Golden is replacing Chandler Jones in the pass rush. They talked about the blitz bail. It was a long question about everything that the Cardinals did in the first matchup on Sunday Night Football. And this is all Pete Carroll had to say.
We expect to get pressure from them.
Both.
Do you know?
That's great. Thank you.
Do you know? I looked up the NFL Live yesterday, and Dan Orlovsky was doing a long, like 3-minute film session, and he's got all the telestrator going, all that kind of stuff, on how Seattle is not handling the blitz. In particular, how Russell Wilson is not recognizing the blitz. And he said Russell Wilson is making elementary remedial mistakes that a rookie quarterback should not make. It was an absolute rip job. He did it in a very professional fashion. But man, was it an indictment on what Russell Wilson is not seeing right now when he looks at defenses and how the Rams got to him because his eyes were in the wrong spots.
Think about, he
should have picked up, you know, easy blitzes, and he didn't.
You know, think about what was the big difference in that second half in the first game with the Cardinals. What was the big difference? What did the Cardinals' defense do? They played a lot of blitz bail. To zero or not to zero, as I like to say, right? That is the question. That's what they did. They played a lot of that against Russell Wilson. 6 Seahawks possessions in the second half, Basin Onions. 6.
Mm.
This is what they did. They went punt, interception, touchdown, punt, punt, interception.
We expect to get pressure from them.
Do you know that against the Bills, the Cardinals pressured Josh Allen on 57% of his dropbacks? That's the analytic. And that's the most by any team in any game this season.
Coming up next, CP3 and D-Book already getting after it. Wasn't there anybody dominating? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
So bad.
It's up right now at ArizonaSports.com. And I admit, I geeked out when I saw it. It was one of those are you kidding me moments. How do you not get excited for Suns basketball? And it's video of Chris Paul, who's been a member of the Suns at the time for about 12 hours, maybe even less than that, at Robert Sarver's house working out with Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Now, I got jacked up beyond belief of, man, the intensity, man, the desire, man, this. I went all through all these things. And then I stopped and I thought, where's DeAndre Ayton?
No. My first thought was this. Yeah! We got Chris Paul, baby! We got CP3! It's happened. It's happened. It's happened, ladies and gentlemen. How cool is that? How cool is it that these guys got to? What a great gesture by Chris Paul, I thought. Devin Booker and Robert Sarver. Look, CP3 didn't have to show up the day after the trade was announced, basically, and shoot it around with Devin Booker. He didn't have to do that. I thought D-Book as well. He didn't have to say yes and go to Sarver's house to start building a relationship with Chris Paul. Robert Sarver didn't have to open his home to Chris Paul and Devin Booker as well. What if they said no after all? But he did. And both these dudes said, yeah, that's a good idea. I think this is a great start. It's a great start right now. But after that, I'm with you. There's a lot of questions that you have after you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Like, who else was there? Who else was there?
Why would you limit it? I mean, it's granted, well, you got to have these two get, you know, getting together. But, you know, but I even thought, can I have Ayton there?
But I can kind of see that right there. I really can. I can see, okay, what is the most important thing? What phone call did the Suns make after they, in the front office, settled on the idea of going after Chris Paul? It was Devin Booker. That's who they called. They said, are you going to be okay with this? So I kind of get it. I understand it. They got two guys that are going to model the culture for Monty Williams. They're going to model it. These two guys, I kind of get the idea of getting them together for a meeting. I do. But I did ask that question as well. Who else was there?
And I totally admit, I mean, we have zero idea if Ayton was invited. We have zero idea if Ayton is in town. We, you know, there are so many things that it's unfair to judge DeAndre Ayton about. So I want to be fair about that. Yet at the same time, when it's time for a workout, there's D-Book. I mean, whenever there's time for a workout, there's D-Book right there. And then on our website, a story that follows is pretty entertaining, is the fact that the floor was the old, not the most recent All-Star game. It was the old All-Star floor before that, that Chris Paul had already played on when Booker was 12.
It was the 2009 All-Star game, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How weird is that right there? It had to be weird for whom? Not Devin Booker, I would say, for Chris Paul. You were 12 years old when I was playing on this floor?
On that very floor.
I absolutely love that, man. CP3, of course, 35. D-Book, 24.
And then Maloney just let me know that the Suns did release an Ayton or a video that's promoting the practice facility, right? Is that what you said, Maloney? And Ayton is in the video.
Okay,
that was just recently released.
All right,
so he's around close.
So
it was
team.
A video. They pretty much did like an MTV Cribs, where it was like "Welcome to
Our
Cribs."
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
And Ayton was in it, but so was Booker. So it's not like the video was filmed while Booker was balling with CP3,
right,
but
right.
He is in town.
Yeah, enough time.
Okay, so basically, who are the leaders on this team, though? What is the leadership?
Boom, immediately Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, and whom else?
Booker.
Chris Paul.
Devin Booker.
And Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Chris Paul is 1,
yeah,
2,
but,
and
but
3.
But still, you know what, honestly, I don't
it
think
might
it can be
just
that.
Get these two going first, and then we'll bring in everybody
exactly
else.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Douglas. I think this is exactly what they were trying to do.
That makes sense.
Let's go ahead and get some type of consensus going here. What direction, what are we going to be like? What is the culture here? I mean, they had to have this long conversation, right? What did they talk about? That is one of the questions I have. What did you guys talk about? Was it DeAndre Ayton? Okay. Are they ever going to say that? Heck no. The Suns are never going to say this. They're never going to say, we brought Chris Paul in here because we knew the impact he was going to have on DeAndre Ayton. Because DeAndre Ayton needs to have that impact on, right? No. They're not going to say that. They're not going to embarrass him in front of everybody. Yet we all kind of secretly believe that's why they did it. Did they talk about the Valley Boys? That's what I want to know right here.
I just
what does CP3 think of the Valley Boys and that moniker?
I think that's over.
it makes you laugh when you think about it, right?
I just hope and pray Robert does not get in between a more important relationship, and that's Chris Paul and Monty Williams. Don't get in between the coach. Let the coach coach, and the coach is the authority, and that's it.
Look, Robert Sarver deserves an awful lot of credit
for
what is happening right now.
But stay
he
out.
He deserves that credit. Exactly right.
We've got a cool event coming up today at 7:30 and 8:30. I think you've heard about the Arizona Sports virtual tailgate that's still going on today. We're going to double up because we're not doing it on Friday. So we have two winners to do today, so you can join tomorrow. So two $700 barbecue grills are going to be given away at 7:30 and 8:30. You want in on this, you got to text GATE to 620-620. That's GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate is presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company.
Research and Doug. Research and Doug.
So what we do is we look at Elias Sports. We look at the Arizona Cardinals, who sends out a really interesting email. We look at all the broadcasts that have different stats. The Aflac trivia question sometime. Whatever I find kind of entertaining and I think you might actually like as a fan, I put it together. And the voice of Arizona State, Tim Healy, gives it a voiceover.
Love Timmy.
And then you find out what's on the line tomorrow night.
Russell Wilson has 13 turnovers and is on pace to turn the ball over more in 2020 than he did in his rookie year of 2012.
Boy, that is really amazing, is it not? It speaks to how well he played his rookie year. He really did. But it also speaks to the fact that now the pressure that Russell Wilson is under and what it is that he's got to do in the boxes, the tight windows he's trying to throw the ball into, makes it almost impossible.
And if there's a chance he doesn't have Lockett, oh my gosh.
Gotta be perfect.
I don't know if you realize this. I wonder if this has to do with the pandemic and the lack of training camp time and the lack of mini camp time to go over game situations and the pass happy offenses we have that keeps other teams, gives them time to come back.
Here's a strange trend, Wolf. The Saints and Cardinals became the 30th and 31st teams this season to come back from a 10-point deficit in their respective wins against the 49ers and the Bills. That's the most 10-point comebacks in NFL history through the first 10 weeks of a season.
Why do you think that is, Douglas?
I think a little bit is game situation, game management. I think there's a lot of teams that are pass happy. That stops the clock when you have the lead and gives other teams a chance to come back.
I also think it's a lot of the enforcement of the rules that are on right now that favor the offense. Not as many holding calls against the offense.
That's very true. This one is amazing.
The Cardinals and Bills combined for only the second game in the last 60 years to have multiple go-ahead passing touchdowns in the final 40 seconds of regulation.
Wow.
Since before the Super Bowl,
only
the second time it's ever happened where both teams took the lead through the air with less than 40 seconds to go in a game. That's what you got to witness Sunday.
Before Sunday, the three quarterbacks in NFL history with a rushing touchdown in five straight games were Hall of Famer Dutch Clark in 1936. And no, Doug, I did not do the play-by-play for that game.
Oh,
although I did watch it on television.
Wait a minute.
Television wasn't invented then. Johnny Lujack in 1950. And the last to do it was Tobin Rote in 1956 until Kyler Murray became the first to do it in the Super Bowl era Sunday against the Bills.
Oh, my goodness. Give me those names again.
A quarterback with a rushing touchdown in five straight games. Dutch Clark, 36. Johnny Lujack in 50.
Dutch and Lujack.
And Tobin Rote in 56. It had never been done in the Super Bowl era. And now Kyler's done it.
Dutch, Lujack, and Tobin Rote. This is good, man.
Coming up next, we've got Cardinals. What a win or loss will do against Seattle. Because it could shape the whole thing. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.